Good evening. Been a good place to be already. Enjoyed myself. Hey, listen, when God starts moving, we need to jump on the bandwagon. Amen. Say, God, give me a little bit of it. Hey, I want all I can get. That's what I get through the week on. But this evening's going to be a little bit different message. I'm going to ask for your participation, and we'll see where it goes from there. We might get out at 10, 11. We might get out in 5 minutes. So, And the testimonies and the songs that's going this way. What is your desire as a Christian? What are some of your desires as a church? And I want answers. If you've got an answer, if God's put something on your heart, what do you desire to be as a Christian, or what do you desire to be as a church?
See people saved.
See people saved. To be a better Christian. Lend a helping hand.
Live in a way that the way I live daily is a testimony.
Amen. Let your light shine when you're out in the community that people can see you that you love Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. And if you have one, speak up. You're not going to be out of order this evening. Didn't really know where God was steering this, and I sat down and finished it this evening. And what do you desire is the title of it. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start with verse 36, but let's pray. Dear gracious and kind Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we come to you in your Son Jesus Christ's name, dear Lord. We thank you, dear God, and we praise you for what we've already experienced here in this place, dear Lord. We pray that you continue opening your blessings and pouring them out upon us, dear Lord. Let the Spirit jump from breast to breast, dear Lord. Dear God, let our desires come out and let us live our desires to the very best of our abilities, dear Lord. Not so that we get the praise and the glory, but we can turn around and give you every ounce of the praise and the glory that's in us, dear Lord. My desire tonight, dear Lord, as I seek your face and I humble myself, dear God, my desire is the one that's said here through sermon after sermon, dear God. Heard preach word after preach word. I pray that tonight is the night, for some odd reason, that you would prick his heart or her heart, dear Lord, and let them know that your love is like no other love they've ever experienced, dear Lord. And I pray that with everything that's in me, dear Lord, that one lost soul would come and get saved. Or somebody that needs this would come up and say, you know what, my desire is to do all I can do for Jesus Christ. We come to you in Jesus Christ's name asking you all these things. And amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 36 says, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. If you have a desire this evening, and if you spoke it or if you didn't speak it, there's nothing that can keep you from that desire. Nothing in this world can keep you from fulfilling your desire to do and be what Jesus Christ wants you to be, except for yourself.
Amen.
We just read right in there that nothing in this world, no principalities, no angels, nothing, can keep you from being what you want to be, except you. When God puts a testimony on your heart, when God puts a song on your heart, or when God puts a job on your heart to go talk to somebody, the only thing or the only person that can stop that is you. And so often we get in the way of that. And so often when we step on the Spirit will leave and go to another place. Or if God's calling you to do a ministry for Him, He'll call and He'll call and He'll call. And then He'll finally get to a place where He says, you know what? If you're not willing to do it, I'll move on and I'll find somebody that is willing to do it. That's a scary place to be. I witnessed to a man one time. He'd come to church every Wednesday, every Sunday. He was there through every service. If you'd look at him, you thought he was as saved as anybody else, but he wasn't saved. And one night he come up to me and he was crying his eyes out. He said, you know what? He said, God has called me time after time after time. And he said, I've rejected Him time after time after time. He said, you preached your heart out tonight. And he said, I thought tonight might be the night. He said, but you know what? I don't feel that no more. He said, God's not knocking on my heart anymore. God's not giving me the goosebumps that I used to get. What am I supposed to do now? I said, hey, I can't do anything for you. I've done everything that I can do. I presented the gospel. But unless God calls you, unless God speaks to your heart, you will not and you cannot be saved. So if you're in here tonight and you've sat through church service after church service and you've let God call on you and call on you and call on you and you've rejected and rejected and rejected, don't blame it on somebody else when you don't have that feeling anymore. Don't blame it on somebody else when you open up your eyes in hell and say, well, I wish I could have went back and done it all over again. It's too late then. As it is written, for the sake we are killed all the day long and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. The world looks at us as we're weak. The world looks at us as we're defeated. They look at us and think that they can just flip us off the side of the map and that nothing will ever happen. But let me tell you something. The God that I serve owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He's richer than anybody else in the whole wide world. He's got more people fighting for Him than anybody else in the whole wide world. And I am on the winning side. I'm the one that's going to be victorious one day when I stand before an almighty God and I don't hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I'll hear, hey, enter in. You've been faithful over a few things. I want to make you ruler over many. That's what I want to hear one day. Man, that's my desire. Jeremy taught on the crowns one time, and I tell you what, he opened my eyes up to a whole new meaning about crowns. Never really thought of it that way. I went home and I bowed down with my babies and they said, Daddy, how many crowns are you going to have? I said, honey, I don't care if I get one or if I get 50. Brody said, Dad, what are you going to do with your crowns if you get 50 of them? And the only thing I could say was, son, I hope that if I get 50 of them, I can bow down at the feet of Jesus and give them back to the one that gave them to me. I'm not worthy of anything in this life. You're not worthy of anything in this life, but God loves you enough that He gave you a chance to make heaven your home and not hell. That's my desire. So my desire as a Christian is, and I've said it since the very beginning of this place, I want people, I want families to be made whole. Turn over into Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12. Taylor sings that song, Battle Scarred Soldier. And you know, that really don't take effect unless you get in your Bible and you start reading through the Bible. And you start reading about people that have scars. They bear scars for Jesus Christ. And right here's a man we're going to read about. He's a battle-scarred soldier. He's been whipped with whips. He's been shipwrecked. He's been stoned. He's been everything in the world. But he kept on pressing towards the mark, the Bible says. But here he is in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that these things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the fortress of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the places and all other places. And many of you, brethren, in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. The one preached Christ as a contentment and a seriousness, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the others love, and knowing that I set the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in presence or in the truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice ye, and I am rejoicer, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and through your supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Or according to my earnest expectations and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that all of my boldness and always so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be in this life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait between having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is much better. Here's a man that's preached the gospel day in and day out. Brother Will preached on him this morning. He'd been in every kind of situation that you could ever imagine. Preached the gospel, shipwrecked, whipped, chained and whipped, put in prisons. Him and Paul and Silas were sitting in the prison. And at midnight it said that they started out singing hymns and praising God. But here he is. He's saying, you know what? I'm in a struggle right here, folks. I don't know whether I want to go or I don't know whether I want to stay. You know what? It said it's much better to go ahead and go. But Paul didn't see fit for Paul to go. Or God didn't see fit for Paul to go. There's no place to quit as a Christian.
Amen.
How old are you? 97?
97.
There's nowhere to quit. You know that? You can still spread the gospel of Jesus Christ by just telling people how He's been saved. I don't care how old you get. I don't care how young you get. There's somewhere to start and there's nowhere to quit. But you got to get started. Paul was here and said, you know what? My desire is to go ahead and go. It'd be much better for me just to go ahead and go and lay this old body down and get to go and be in heaven with Jesus Christ. But God don't have that in store for me. So as long as you're still here, your desire should be to spread the gospel. Your desire should be to see somebody get saved and get out of devil's hell. That should be each and every one of your desires to say, you know what? God loves you enough that He died for you. He took your place on an old Roman cross. That should be our desire. The Christian's desire is to see someone get saved. Not to, Paul was saying here, not to boast me. Not to look upon me and say, oh, whoa, look at Paul. Paul done all these great and glorious things. No, he just wanted the gospel to be preached and Jesus Christ to be the focal point of everything that's done in the place. You start getting away from that, you're getting on dangerous territory. Psalms 112. So a Christian's desire should be to see people saved. Let's look and see what an unperson, or unsaved person's desire is. Psalms 112. We're going to start in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generations upright shall be blessed. Wealth and rich shall be in the house, and righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright, their light that in the darkness, He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor in lending and guide in his affairs with discretion. Surely he hath not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in the everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tiding. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Now this is a Christian person talking here. In verse 9, he hath despised that he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Now look at the wicked, it says here. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desires of the wicked shall perish. You know what any lost person that's ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ wants? What we have. Anybody that has ever heard the good gospel of Jesus Christ preach, anybody that's ever heard the testimonies about how no matter how low you get in a valley, God can reach down into miry clay and He can pull you up and set you on the solid rock. No matter where you've been in life, that person longs to have what you have. When you can testify about having cancer and then go home and lay your head down and say, you know what? I'm a winner either way if I go or if I stay. They long to have that. Their teeth gnash at that. They groan at that. They want that in their life. That's what they desire to have. The only problem is they won't choose it. They desire it. You see, when you look at us, so many of you testified about letting your light shine. That's preaching. They look at you and see what you have. And they desire to have that peace. They desire to have that family that's all come to church every Wednesday and every Sunday. They desire to have moms and dads that bow down and pray over their food. They desire to be like that. But so many of them fall short and say, you know what? I'm just not going to submit. I'm just not going to bow down. I'm Lord of my life and I don't need anybody else. Hell will become your home one day. The Bible says that it's enlarging itself daily. Why? Because people are choosing to go to that place. And friend, if you're in here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you draw your last breath tonight, hell will be your home. You'll remember every gospel message that's ever been preached, I believe. You'll remember every song that's ever been sung. You'll remember every tear that's ever been shed. You'll hear every prayer that somebody's heard pray for you. And you'll be part of your agonizing pain. We'll be remembering all the times of all the loved ones that prayed and prayed and prayed and preached and preached and preached and sung and sung and sung. But oh, you'll be in hell lifting up your eyes in torment and saying, oh, I wish I'd give it all to change it back. I'd give anything to have it the other way. What would you give? Mark asked that question. What would it profit a man if he'd gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now you think and you study about that. What would you give if you'd gained everything in the world and lost your very own soul? What would you give in return? You'd give it all. You'd cut off your right arm. You'd cut off both your legs. You'd give anything in the bank account in order to go back and hit rewind right before death and say, God, I surrender.
Amen.
You'd give it all. Man, in this life, it's just give me, give me, give me. Need more, need more, need more. That's some of the lost people's desires in life. I need more, I need more, I need more. There's going to come a time when more is no good. It's not going to do you a bit of good when you're in hell. When you lift up your eyes being in torment, your briefcase is not going to be down there with you. Your safety deposit box is not going to be with you. 401k ain't going to mean anything down there. There will not be a U-Haul following your hearse going to the graveyard, I promise you. The government will give it to some bum somewhere down the road and they'll get to spend it. It's truth. So what are you holding on to? What's your desire this evening? Christians, we should desire to see the lost saved. The lost are designed to have what we have. Now, what's Christ's desire for us? What does Christ want out of us? Look over at Luke chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 15. Luke chapter 22 and verse 15. And He said unto them, with what? Desire. I have desired to eat this Passover before I suffer. I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, this, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And He took the bread and He gave thanks and He broke it and He gave it unto them saying, this is my body, which is given for what? You. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, supper saying, take this cup and New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on this table. Christ loved you enough that He took your place. Sitting there in the upper room with the disciples, He took the bread, He broke the bread, He blessed it, and He said, here, take this. This is in remembrance of me. This is my body that they're going to whip, that they're going to scourge. I'm going to take your place. Here, take the wine and drink the wine. This is my blood that is going to shed for you. Take it. I give it to you. Seth, you could give your life for anybody in here and it wouldn't do a bit of good. Dad, you could give your life for anybody in here, and it wouldn't do a bit of good. But there was one hung on a cross one day over 2,000 years ago. He stretched His arms out as far as the east is from the west. He didn't say a word when He was innocent of every guilty that everything had been put upon Him. And He said, you know what? I love them enough that I'll take their place. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was talking about you, friends. But you go back and you read there. A lot of things get overlooked about this Last Supper. Look at what verse 21 says. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on this table. Folks, you know what you're doing by not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You're betraying Him.
Amen.
Everything that He ever did was for you. Every ounce of love that He ever shed was for you. Everything that He did, He done it in remembrance of you. He said, you know what? I'll take your place. You know what? You're sitting in here and you're nothing but a dirty, low-down, guilty sinner. Each and every one of us, I don't care if you're saved or lost, you're all guilty. We all deserve to die and go to the devil's hell, but for the ones that have accepted Christ, He said, you know what? I'm going to take your place. I'm glad that He did, Brother Mike. I'm glad that He said, you know what? I'll take His place. 34 years ago, when I come into this life, some of them probably held me and looked at me and said, Lord, wonder what He's going to be. God knew what I was going to be. God knew that one day I'd be preaching the gospel to people. God knew that one day He would call me and I would answer the call. 2001, December the 6th of 2001. God knows what He does, folks, and He never makes a mistake. Nothing ever takes Him by coincidence. Nothing ever catches Him off guard. He knows what you're going to do this evening. If you're in here and you're sitting here and you feel uncomfortable, it's because God loves you. He's calling on you, pecking on you. Man, we talk amongst each other and I get goosebumps from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet when God wants me to testify. Them things come from, everywhere. And I know that it's God. Jeremy's back hurts. If his back starts hurting while we're in church, it's time for him to testify. God speaks to each and every one of us in different ways. But man, I like that small, still voice. That's what He did to me December the 6th of 2001. I was sitting there holding on to the back of that pew and I thought, Lord, just give me a little bit of time to get out of this place and I'll leave and I'll never come back. And He said, son, I did it for you. I love you more than anybody's ever loved you on the face of this earth. I love you. If you'll just turn loose and let me show you how much I love you, you won't regret a mile. And I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. I've been up hills, I've been down in valleys. But praise God, He's been right there with me all along the way. And I don't regret a mile. As Brother Jeremy comes to give us a song, what's your desire this evening? Christians, if you didn't have a desire, you couldn't say anything, you couldn't speak out, maybe you need to come up here and pray and say, hey God, you know what? Give me a desire. Drive me. Show me something that I need to be. If you would, please stand.